Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, everybody.
I'm Kim.
I'm Penn. Sorry, that was slightly feigned enthusiasm. Should we start over?
No.
Okay.
Let's just do this.
Hey, guys, welcome to the Holderness Family Podcast. We are recording this on a Thursday. I'm only telling you that because, first of all, thanks for being here. We love you. This is the most important part of our week, and we really need it this week. We need to sit and be still and talk. My dad passed away last Saturday, so 4 days ago. We are in the process of obviously remembering him, grieving, missing him, and also putting together an event that will be earth-shattering in the city of Durham because of what an influence that he was. So we needed this minute just to kind of sit and talk. So thank you for putting up with us. I know I just started with my dad passed away. I promise there might be some sad moments, but this is also hopefully going to be somewhat informative and maybe even a little fun.
Fun.
Why are you?
No, totally. No. Absolutely. I don't. I think what Penn's idea of what to talk about today, I think, is going to be really useful, and that is our goal is to spread joy, of course, but also in this podcast, especially to help people be better at adulting and marriaging and parenting. And we as a family learned a lot about navigating this process and made some mistakes for sure. But I do believe if you are like us, you are in this season because I hate to, like, two of our other friends' parents passed this week.
Right. Exactly. I think yesterday, right? Like, yeah. One of them was yesterday and then one of them was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
We're absolutely in the season. And I mean, we'll talk about this some as we move on with the podcast. The way that it's happening, it feels the same with a lot of people. There is a decline that happens faster than you think sometimes. People are caught off guard. I guess that happens a lot. But, you know, I wanted to share some of the stuff that I'm not just going to say that we learned, because Kim was in the foxhole with me over the last 5 years as my parents' health started to decline, about some things that we learned that we messed up on, and also that we were lucky to be the recipient of, that helped us a lot.
Yeah. So we're going to get to that. But first, Penn Holderness,
yes.
As you prepare your yagoogly.
Did you not know what a yagoogly was?
For Saturday, you had some funny stories. And I would say, what is it from Steel Magnolias? Like, laughter through tears is my favorite emotion. Like, there have been a lot of tears remembering your dad, Haywood Dale Holderness Jr. But there's also been some really, like, you know where, when, if you met Penn's dad, you would know where Penn got it from. I think that if people at my funeral say, oh, she lit up a room, they would be lying. I don't light up rooms. That's fine.
You light up my room.
I know. But I don't light up a room. But it's fine. There's other jobs in a room besides lighting it up. But I would say about your dad, like, not just because he had, as you said, a laugh more contagious than COVID, he was such a joy and a light to be around that so many people have reached out that knew him, and he impacted so many lives. He was a leader in the Durham community. He was a pastor for 33 years. Just the stories that we've heard, plus the ones I've been able to witness. I just want to say, like, he was an absolute legend. If I dedicated my life to service at this moment, I will never even hit a fraction of the impact that he made.
Yeah. So Dale and I were putting together his obituary, which, by the way, was very expensive because
they
charge by the letter now. They used to be free, but like that, this is how newspapers make money.
I think they've always charged, but I think there's like a standard, but it gives you like four lines or something.
Well, there was never going to fit in these four lines. Right. And we needed to put him in a lot of newspapers, because he was, he was influential throughout North Carolina. But there was this list of awards, and as we're listing them and writing through them, and Kim's helping us edit them, she's like, "Stop!
These seem fake."
She's like, "No," she said, "Are you guys both starting to feel really like selfish buttholes because you haven't done
any of this
fraction of what this was?" So my favorite awards, there were some really impressive ones. He was the NAACP Man of the Year. My dad's white. he won a social leadership award from a local mosque, which I will not try to pronounce. And then I think they made this award up for him. It was outstanding service for a non-Rotarian from the Rotary Club. They were like, "Wait, everyone else has an award for my dad. We're gonna make up one for my dad." Fake. Maybe they do that all the time, but I thought that was really funny. So yeah, so many awards. But Kim, thank you for saying that he lit up every room. You're not the first one to say that. Thank you for comparing him to me. I don't think I could ever live up to the amount of joy that he brought into a room, and the amount of positivity and the infectious laugh and the gravity that just shifted toward him because everybody wanted to feel that joy and that light, mm-hmm. which he then converted into just shaking people down for so much money.
Oh, he started so many charities.
Yeah.
Like he would, there's a story his friend Johnny told me one time that was like, he would have called me, it's like his best friend. He would call me and said, "I need $1,000. He's like, "For what?" He's like, "Don't worry about it." And
no, he wouldn't tell people. Well, that wasn't just Johnny. He would always say, "I need $1,000. I'm not going to tell you where it's going."
Well, that's not true. So he would give very clear directives about where big donations were going. But his good friends, he'd be like, "This, you know, fund needed it. This charity needed it. This whatever, this person." He started a lot of charities. He was on a lot of boards. Again, he's a much better person than we are or could ever hope to be. But I'm really thrilled that my children get to be related to somebody who's that impressive.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And you mentioned funny stories, and that was one of them. Other funny stories involved him laughing so hard during a New York play production that they had to stop the production because he was laughing so hard and the cast was laughing too. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of an infectious laugh. Oh my gosh, there's so many funny ones.
I would say, so I think the reason why it is like, there's a certain, and there's no, losing somebody and losing a parent is never easy, no matter the circumstances. But as we mentioned on this podcast, both of Penn's parents lived in skilled nursing, his mom with Alzheimer's, his dad with dementia. Like, the lines are blurry. I don't know which is which. And so your dad hasn't been here for several years. But I will say, like, as they both moved into that facility, but there was still a time when, like, they could go to, like, the fancy dining room and the community center, like, on the campus of where their skilled nursing center is. And we needed to make sure they got back in safe. So we were like watching them walk in and just like making sure they made it into the building. And your dad had his like arm around her and then like his hand drifted down and he like grabbed her butt. I'm like, look at them. they don't remember who I am, but he knew to grab her butt. And I just thought it was just the sweetest.
He took that with him for several years until really kind of the end when things really started to go south. But yeah, I remember we both kind of laughed about that. It was also sad, right? Because they couldn't stay in the same room. Mm-hmm. She needed a different type of care. And that's what happens when you get into dementia, when you get into Alzheimer's, you get scared. And Anyway, so it was a very complicated tapestry of living arrangements, and every quarter we would have a meeting with the people in the facility, and we would share what we were seeing, they would share what they were seeing, and it was always something different. Mm. Dad's life came to an end on Saturday, and it was
the day before Father's
Day. It was the day before Father's Day. We were able to be there in the room with him, which I can't say enough about how important that was to me and to my brother. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but I have a list of 10 things that I made about things that we learned about this last season in life. Mm-hmm. And we're going to sprinkle in some more stories and love about Haywood as we go through this. But I don't know. A lot of these are things that we messed up or found out midway that I wish we kind of knew going into it. So if you have a parent who is either in this season of life who may get to that season in life, which I feel like there's a lot of people.
Or just, I think this is stuff we need to do for our children today.
Okay.
And then just edit it as you, like every 10 years, edit it. Because people, we're in our 40s, no day is promised. Like we need to, I think your parents did a lot of things right that made life easier for us in this week. And
to your point, some of these things are directives for people who are going into it, who are younger, who can plan ahead. And others are for people who are having to have tough conversations with their parents. So there's a lot of stuff. So number one, encourage your parents, or maybe you could do this as early as you wanted to do something called an advance directive. It's a legal document. You can notarize it. You don't have to notarize it. But it basically gives your wishes when it comes to things like resuscitation, when you're getting older, right? That's going to change over time.
We have one, honey, just so you know.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But ours is you need to encourage them to update them.
Okay.
Okay? I guess that's the most important thing. Because obviously, I'm 47 years old. If I have a heart attack, you're going to want to resuscitate me.
Right.
Or if my heart's starting to fail, you're going to want to put a pacemaker in it. You're like all life-saving measures for me. But guys, you get to a point where that will cause, especially if you have dementia, that will cause major issues on top of it. And in the words of one doctor, who when they were talking about getting my dad a pacemaker, they said, just because you can give someone a pacemaker doesn't mean that you should. And those are all things that can be included in a document called an advance directive.
Right. And so we have one as well. But I would just say update it. And also because your dad went into the hospital several months ago and they asked the hospital, like, where do you have a copy of it? He's supposed to, like, he traveled from the nursing home with it, but they didn't have it. So it wasn't posted. The DNR wasn't posted. So, like, we had to, healthcare is so hard to navigate. But, like, the hospital crew where we were most recently had no idea that he had a DNR. Like, so you just need to ask for it.
Yes. So that's one thing. That's the kind of thing you're going to see in a nursing unit or a hospital. Above and beyond that, my father wrote up something when he was 73 years old, 9 years ago, when he was fully of sound mind and body, where he would have a long conversation with anybody and light up any room, just like we said, which he called a death wish document, which sounds like a Charles Bronson movie, right? Like that was the name of the movie. It has been the most helpful thing for us in the last year, and particularly in the last week, where he gave specific instructions about everything.
Yeah.
And we are coming right back.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Sadly, my grandmother passed in November, and she was also, she had time, and she was very mentally aware up until the day before she died. She designed the service. She just chose who was going to talk. She did the hymns that were going to be sung. So I would say, what a favor your dad. He chose the readings he wanted. He chose the hymns he wanted at his service, how he wanted to be cremated. And honestly, I think that we all, I mean, we're in our 40s. Like, this is the sort of thing. These are the awkward conversations we should have. Do you want to read them part of what he had?
I'm going to read bits of it. I want to also say that he sent this to his children. He sent this to his pastor. And he sent this to a funeral home. Right?
Because another gift? He already chose the funeral home.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so that's on part Saturday.
Of it. Yeah.
So he passed, and literally the sweet nurse was like, okay, which funeral home are we calling? And could you imagine not, like, you're like, I don't know. Like, I would say, like, I was like, oh God, I have to, like, Google a funeral home on a Saturday night. He already, he decided.
No, I had the guy's cell number because he gave it to me. He said, when it happens, text this guy.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean,
what a gift.
Don't you remember the reason I'm saying this now, and I want to preach it and scream it from the top of the mountain, how helpful this was, because I was resistant to this when I got it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think most people will be, right? They'll be like, oh, come on, Dad, what are you doing? You're like really bumming me out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, was this helpful.
Right.
Right. Yeah. He wrote, we'll probably talk about this more as time goes on, but my father did the absolute best that he could to do two things. Number one, he did not want to be a burden on any of us.
Yeah.
Even though when his mind and body started to fail, he had no control over any of these wishes. So he made these wishes clear before his brain started to fade. He was not super into just like hanging on by a thread. So he wrote this when he was 73 years old. I'm just going to read this verbatim. Please remember that I consider my life to be over when I can no longer enjoy the company of folks I love, when I can no longer worship God or enjoy oysters. When I can no longer care for myself, please care for me as best you can. But, and this is in bold, please, please do not allow your care for me to interrupt you living your lives to the fullest. And then he goes on to say, because I do not know when my ability to make good decisions will cease, and because I trust my family and have an enormous desire not to become burdensome to you, I sincerely ask that when you two and your mom agree on any decision that affects my life, implement that joint decision, knowing that my best self will always agree with you.
And his best self is in quotes. I have to say that there were some times when we were going through this process and deciding when to move him, I don't think he was making decisions or saying things that were his best self, but we had to remind ourselves, this is not him.
Right. And we're going to talk about that more on these later numbered things. But the bottom line is, this document gave us the guidance and also the grace and understanding that when we make these tough decisions, that Dad from 10 years ago is clapping his hands somewhere, mm-hmm. right? And that's tough because later in life, there are decisions that you have to make no matter what he writes here, when you have to go from life extending measures to comfort measures, right? Mm-hmm. That's usually when hospice comes in. By the way, hospice is amazing. Mm-hmm. Can we say that? Mm-hmm. Hospice is amazing everywhere. Obviously, tremendous job by my dad putting this document together.
Slow clap, Haywood.
Yeah.
You did good.
On that same note of what we were just talking about, the third thing that I wrote down is to try to have the conversation early about power of attorney. And that looks different in every single family. But I have, ever since we were able you need power of attorney when your parents can't talk, right? And it happens at a certain point. It's quite easy when that happens. But when there's a gray area, usually your best self or your mm-hmm. parents' best self is going to want you making those decisions. But there's a legal step that you have to take, and that's called power of attorney.
Ben wrote number four, when there's a tough conversation about needing to move to a safer place, don't wait until it's too late.
Yeah. I mean, when does that happen, right? That happens when you realize that your parents are not capable of caring for themselves. And that can happen for a thousand reasons. But know that people are living longer. Their bodies are lasting longer. Our healthcare company is helping assure to that, but it doesn't mean that our brains are lasting longer. That's the one thing where, I mean, we are trying and there are ways to stem the tide of dementia and Alzheimer's, but most of our parents didn't know about those things. And so a lot of time their brains fail before their bodies do. And so, you know, having that conversation, you want them to be of sound mind if you can.
Yeah, and I come at it from a different place because, again, when my grandmother was, like, giving me her bank passwords, like,
the day before,
yeah. And, like, she's like, does Penn need a new Kindle? I have a Kindle. Not the day. It was, like, 3 days before. Like, she – and we never would have – she never needed to move out. She needed some care. My mother was basically living there. So it's different for everybody, and it's on the level in which they can participate. But I think we had a very brief conversation, like our house and at the time your brother's house that he was living in. Like it didn't, we'd stairs everywhere. Like it wouldn't have worked them living here. Also would have been very dangerous with what your parents, like, their ability, they were mobile and not aware, like, which would have been dangerous if they were here, which is also heartbreaking too, that we couldn't take care of them like that.
Yeah. And I wish we had had the conversation earlier, but it's really tough. Your parents are, I mean, you have to flip the script, right? Your parents have been your authority your entire life, and they're supposed to be, right? And then you have to be the authority when it comes to something like this. So I have this as number five. When you're having that conversation, and this is something I absolutely did not get until someone who is a saint got me on the phone and who has done this before and explained this to me, okay? He said, treat your parent with love and respect, but also understand that that person may not be thinking rationally anymore, and that is not their fault. It's not their fault. Yeah. You know how long that takes? You're like, why is my dad talking to me like that? Why is my mom talking to me? Oh, this is what happens to your brain. It's like that 73-year-old person who wrote that letter is not there anymore. And you have to, when that happens, you, and he said this, he said, how would you treat your child if they burned their finger on a stove when they were 2 years old? Which, by the way, happened to my parents. They left the gas on. They were having issues that were similar to what a toddler would have, right? And the answer is you treat them with love. You are firm with them, and you do whatever you can to guarantee their safety, but you know that they don't know any better, which seems crazy to say about your parents. But sometimes when dementia comes into play, that's exactly what happens. You get to the point where you've got to be a parent to them with love and like unconditional love and respect, but also firmness. That took some time for me to figure out. If you know me, that's not really my lane. You know what I mean? But it's the advice I've given to the most of my friends who have been dealing with this with their parents, which is this is where they are in life. It's not their fault. Love them as fiercely as you have loved your children, and commit yourself to their safety as much as you have with their children. So I hope I didn't bum people out there, but that's like, this is one of the most important things that I can tell people because I see it happening all the time. Oh, okay. So number six. Another piece of advice that I got from this kind of guru about how to help get your parents to a safer place is they're going to be stubborn, right? They're used to being in charge. They should be used to being in charge. They've raised you. They've probably put you through maybe school. They clothed you. They cared for you. They may still be supporting you to this day, right? So it's tough for them to accept help. And so, this guy told me to say, will you allow me to ... And the first time I did that, it worked. Like, will you allow me to do some research on these homes that will get you to a safer place? Will you allow me to set up a meeting? Will you allow me to draft these papers and have you sign them? All these kind of baby steps. And adding that little, will you allow me to? Don't know why, but that really helped. So let's fast forward. Got my parents to a safe place. That was sad. It's going to be sad, right? And we're just going to kind of fast forward to kind of the end, right? The last week or so, and things that we wish we had learned. Kim, you can jump in on this one if you want to. If you have some time, start collecting photos of your parents and get them in one place digitally. Because Kim, our photos, but also our parents' photos are in 1,000 different places.
Well, that's just the way that life was up until we had cell phones and ways to store them digitally. But yeah, there was your brother had some pictures and we had some pictures and people were sending us pictures. So I think that's part of the, and I think at a modern funeral service, either people have pictures out, like at the reception, or there's some sort of slideshow playing. Just take some time to gather some pictures, because in the last week, it's really hard.
Yeah. So where are some of the places we found Dad's pictures? Kim, by the way, is the saint who has put together a spectacular slideshow.
It's my special gift. It's so funny. I never use iMovie at all on my computer because we edit using Adobe Premiere. But I only use iMovie for slideshows. And I went in and it's like literally only open it up and like when somebody dies. So I have like 8 funeral slideshows on my iMovie. We found them everywhere. And so, yeah, it is. I mean, that's just like a housekeeping thing, but it's helpful to have them in one place.
We need to do that for everyone.
Oh my gosh, like our families, they're all over the place.
Because it starts out, like, what was the first app? Was it Shutterfly? There was like one that everybody put their pictures in. I think whatever Kodak's one was. And like, when's the last time you heard the name Kodak? And then it moved over to the Google pictures.
Oh my gosh, you're so old.
The cloud. Mm-hmm. No, I'm right here. I'm right, aren't I? Like everything is its own cloud deal. But then now literally there's like 14,000 pictures either on your phone or attached to your phone. And that's where they all are. Mm-hmm. But it keeps migrating to different places. And then you have to add on all of those like old photo carousels that you turn and the pictures kind of flip up that were the only things that we had when we were kids. And then, but then you've got to digitize those. So you need a good app for that. And you just got to try to put everything in the same place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's okay? Kim, help me out with this too. When cleaning out the house, which sometimes happens before, mm-hmm. for us it happened 3 or 4 years before because we moved them into an independent living area. When cleaning out the home, you are probably going to save more than you probably should.
I think the strange gift of them having to move them, which again, like, is not common in my family because people in my family haven't experienced needing to move to a different place yet. In my experience, I've certainly experienced like the cleaning out of things. And then with your parents, I was talking to Laurie, my sister-in-law, yesterday, like, what a relief that we're not having the emotion of cleaning out a house right now, because it was hard enough 3 or 4 years ago, whenever that was, 4 years ago. I don't even know. And we wrote about this even in our book, I definitely wanted to save everything. And you went through with like a garbage bag and we're just like tossing stuff. But meanwhile, the stuff we saved is like in our attic. And I don't know, I just wanted to have the ability to save stuff for my kids. And, you know, like, you know, I have one of your mom's dresses and yeah. So it's unbelievably hard. And I don't have an answer on like doing that right away versus doing that. Like my mother had to clean out her mother's house like the week after, which is, that's also terrible.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been able to do that this week.
No, I know. My mom had to. And so, cause the house sold. So like, it's all terrible, but yeah. And I will say this, as we're getting our parents, and then I even think about this now, because I think, yes, you can send this to your parents and be like, hey, can you do me a favor and design your own funeral service? Like there's that gift. But also my mom, after cleaning out her mom's house, decided to start cleaning out her house. She's like, I don't want to do that to you.
Wow.
And she has started cleaning out and getting rid of stuff because she knows it'll be my brother and I having to wade through that. And she just doesn't want to do that to us. But I've started, like, that is why you like joke that I get rid of everything. Like you're like, oh, don't give it to Kim because she'll get rid of it. Because I think about, seriously, when I was going through your mom who was like, and she's still with us physically, but again, mentally not here. And that's, I will cry talking about it. But your brother said something so beautiful. He's like, you'll she'll never know she's a widow. Like, she just is not aware. So there's, it's such a beautiful marriage. And so it's actually a gift that she'll never know. But your mother was so fancy and she was so proper. And she was just like, she was like one of those ladies. She was a lady. And then here I am, like this daughter-in-law going through her stuff. And
you're talking about her clothes and her dresses.
Her clothes and her dresses, yeah. And her, you know, tea settings. And she had different sets, I think, you know, like different sets of plates. And she had all this stuff. And I'm like, little did she know when she put this in a box and saved it for entertaining and whatever, that some girl that her son brought home would be going through it and getting authority over like what's kept and what's donated and what we're going to try to sell. Like, I think about somebody that Penn Charles dates and gets married to making a decision over my stuff. I'm like, I want some girl he brings home to go through my stuff.
Okay.
So I just start getting rid of stuff now. Isn't that the most weird way of looking at it? But that's seriously what I get rid of everything.
I do love that you think of yourself as some girl who I brought home.
We're married and have two kids, but like, I mean, she didn't. There are so many people that were more impactful in her life, right? Like,
I don't know. You got her a granddaughter. Like, you were pretty darn important to her.
And a grandson.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always felt so loved by her, and she was so gracious and just a smoke show. She's super hot, but like, I mean. In the course of her life, I came around at the end of her awareness, and I'm like, some girl, who do I have?
Right. So this is why I didn't make this advice. It was just a sentence, which is, again,
get rid of your stuff, you guys.
My sentence was, you are going to save more than you probably should.
But
it's going to happen. It's because it's so, you just perfectly encapsulated, and it's not weird how hard it is to make those decisions when, in the end, unless you are going to use them or can find someone else who is going to use them, obviously, like, donating is a great idea when you can, the person who purchased and had those things has no use for them anymore.
Right.
So that is, but again, we messed up. Like, even me, who was Johnny Trashcan, brought back some stuff that I don't really know what I'm going to do with. So it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, number 9. Ask for and receive help. People want to help you with this. It will actually bring them joy to help you with this.
I don't know. What do you mean?
I mean, during the end, when, like, everything, when you need, if you need help about how to talk to your parents, if you need someone to come over and help.
Oh, gotcha.
Help. You're not on your own. Like, this person probably has a lot of friends, and there is a culture of people when you get to this point where they really do want to help, where it would be meaningful for them to be able to help you with something, whatever that may be.
Number 10.
I've got a number. Oh, you have a number 10?
I want to hear your number 10.
Okay. Number 10. It's totally okay if the vehicle that comes to pick up your beloved parent is not the traditional.
They're not a hearse, honey.
Hearse, like with the curtains on it. I was waiting for the hearse to show up.
Outside
with my brother. We were very emotional. And up rolls.
A Chrysler Pacifica.
A Chrysler. This lovely, new.
Lovely.
Chrysler Pacifica.
It's a beautiful vehicle.
So we're like devastated, and I look over my shoulder and I say, are they gonna put Dad in a Chrysler Pacifica?
And you're like, I didn't think his last ride would be in a Chrysler Pacifica.
Because it is, he's getting cremated. That was his last ride, by the way. Awesome car.
It was lovely.
But I just didn't know.
I question, because he's a very tall man. Because even with the seats down, like, he's kind of...
No, those things go on forever. Are you worried that, like, his head was, like, in the front seat with him by the stereo dial?
I was questioning how he was going to fit.
He fit just fine. Like, it was perfect.
This podcast.
It was also, like, on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And they were there instantly. So I need to give props to the funeral home for being responsive, for making sure that he was brought into his care in a very timely manner.
Yeah, it was like,
everyone was impressed by how quickly they got there in a Chrysler Pacifica.
I mean,
that's, I guess that's
and a very sweet man. Everybody was so sweet. I have to say, like, there were plenty of opportunities to laugh this week. There have been many more to cry. We were scheduled to be in South Carolina to give a big speech at a convention on Tuesday, like a keynote. And they had a whole, I think they're fine without it, but they were so understanding. We had a lot of work that we were supposed to do. And I was like, I can do work this week. Penn is the one who's busy. No, I've been like, my brain's just been shot. So.
This would have been really difficult. It would have been impossible for me to go. And I think it would have been tough if you were gone as well. So thank you for staying with me. And thank you to the people who understood.
They understood, but it was really, I mean, we were all ready to go. I was excited. It was a lovely resort, but it just, there's no way we could have done it. And we have another video, I think this was to go out like next week maybe, that we shot last week. And we have some blogs that we've written, and we have stuff that's going to go out when it goes out. But then we're taking we're taking this week and taking next week, and we're going to chill and remember your dad. Yeah. And
and if you see a video of us that makes you laugh, just know that we probably didn't do that this week. We probably did that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But by the time you listen to this, the funeral will be over. I am setting the over-under on attendance / live stream views at 12 billion. That's a joke. But my dad was so beloved, and he really was like Batman for the city of Durham. He just kind of like sat and looked at what people needed, and he kind of swooped in, but he wasn't rich or didn't have a costume. So no, Robin Hood? I don't know. He was some kind of superhero. He was his own kind of superhero. Yeah. And he, again, if you're curious and you want to see what he did, his obituary is online and the list is staggering of what he's done. And I miss him. I didn't expect this to happen, but it's been kind of cool thinking about him as an entire body of work instead of thinking about him as the person that he was over the last several years, which is tough to think about. I knew that he was probably sad in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And he even predicted in that letter that he probably lived past when he considered a fruitful life to be. Mm-hmm. And that can be really sad for him. It can also be really sad for his loved ones who love him and want him to be happy. But when he passes, it's, you miss him so much more because all of that just goes away and you remember the entire person that he was. Mm-hmm. And it happens in an instant and it's overwhelming. It's made me smile and laugh and cry and do 1,000 things altogether. I think I can simultaneously be relieved that he's not suffering anymore. Mm-hmm. And just incredibly sad that I don't have him in my life anymore, especially now that I remember, you know, how he raised me and what he taught me, you know, the things he told me right before I left for college. He said, don't get pregnant. And I was like, Dad, do you mean don't get anyone else? He's like, you know what I mean? Don't get pregnant. Okay. Thanks, Dad. He kept saying it over and over again until I figured out like that. He didn't want to tell me not to impregnate any women in college. So he just said, don't get pregnant. But that was the kind of funny guy he was. He could get a point across and make mountains move with just humor and levity and a laugh, and people would go that way because they trusted that he had everyone's best interests in mind. So that was kind of a cool guy to grow up with.
Do you want to hear a joke? Mm-hmm. Do you need some cheering up? Just like one or two mom jokes.
You want to do mom jokes?
Yeah, just okay. One or two.
Hang on. Sure. Yeah, I'm like, I you've been great for me all week. We're still in what I call our grace period.
Oh my gosh. Penn's like, you're being so nice to me. After like, how long does this last?
It's a week, right? It's 1 week. You've been...
I'm nice.
But just there's this extra level of niceness, and I'm trying not to take advantage of it because... Obviously, like, I don't want to do this, but you bring me stuff that you don't normally bring me. I don't have to clean up as much as I normally do. I leave stuff out and you're like, that's fine. By the way, I'm ADHDing so hard this week. I think that stress and grieving makes you lose stuff all the time. But I said to her last night, I'm like, this is like a grace period that is going to expire literally as soon as the funeral is over, right?
you Googly's done. Let's wrap it up, Holderness. Get your mess together.
This garage is a bleep hole. That's what's going to happen as soon as we're done. So I am enjoying this grace period.
I'm going to sprinkle. I'm just going to tell you before we wrap up, I'm going to tell you a few mom jokes.
Okay. What's a mom joke?
It's like a dad joke.
Is it the same as a dad joke or is it a little different?
It's, but from a mom.
There's not like anything specific. It's just, it's a dad joke.
It's a dad joke, but okay. From, delivered from a mom.
There's no difference between a mom joke and a dad joke.
I'm going to say they're slightly better.
Okay.
I don't know. You be the judge.
Okay.
Ready?
I didn't even know these were a thing. I'm excited. Let's go.
Why are there Pop-Tarts, but not Mom-Tarts?
Okay. This is a mom joke. Why are there Pop-Tarts, but not Mom-Tarts? I don't know.
Because of the pastryarchy.
Okay, so they're dad jokes but woke.
Okay,
is that what this is?
How do you weigh a millennial?
How do you weigh a millennial? I don't know.
In Instagrams. Get it? Because they like Instagram.
Oh my god, these are worse than dad jokes.
Hold on. Okay. I'm looking. I have a list.
Right.
If you slap Dwayne Johnson's butt, you officially hit rock bottom.
Okay, I like that one. So you know what? That one can't be a dad joke. I think that's got to be a mom joke.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get this. Mom jokes have an identity.
What did the fish say when he hit the wall?
What?
Damn. Because it's a damn.
That could have been a dad joke, but that's really good.
I've started telling people about the benefits of dried grapes.
Oh.
Okay.
I think I know what it is.
What?
Are you raising awareness?
Oh, yeah. It's all about raising awareness.
Sorry.
Hold on. How do you get a farm girl to like you?
I feel like this is a dirty
like
joke or
one.
Something.
Yeah, it says what a tractor.
Oh, no, that's funny. A tractor?
A tractor.
A tractor, like you get her a tractor. I like that one.
Why haven't aliens visited our solar system yet?
Why?
They looked at the reviews. Only one star. It's a space joke.
I really thought it was going to be something about Uranus.
I finally got around to watching the documentary on clocks.
Okay.
It was about time. What did Adam say to his girlfriend on the 24th of December?
I mean, this is pretty obvious. Happy Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I love that one as well. A husband walked into a bar. The wife ducked. Yeah, sorry. What do you call two monkeys who share an Amazon account?
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
Prime mates.
Oh!
Why is there popcorn but no mom corn?
Okay, here's the, like, this is a good one. Go ahead.
Misogyny.
Oh, that's good because maize is corn.
Do you want to play Would You Rather?
Yeah. Oh, wait, do we have a song for that? Hey,
it's time for everybody's favorite weekly game. Yeah, both of these options are unbearable. Gotta choose one, even though it is terrible. Let's play Would You Rather, starting now. Hey, all right.
Okay, just one today. Would you rather have every shirt you wear be kind of itchy? You know, like we all have that shirt. You're like, oh, it looks cute. But you put it on. It's kind of itchy.
Like putting a wool sweater on with no shirt underneath
right.
It.
Kind
yeah.
of, but not like super, just kind of itchy and uncomfortable. Or only be able to use one ply toilet paper.
The shirt.
You'd rather wear an itchy shirt?
I have had multiple situations with one ply toilet paper where I have had such little success that I've had to go take a shower instantly afterwards. Did you just snort?
I think I would rather. I've not had an issue with one ply toilet paper. I mean, it's not my favorite.
Let me ask you this. I guess I could also just say that, like, if you go three times and it's not all gone, you have to take a shower, right? So that happens to me sometimes. And it always happens. It almost always happens to me with one ply toilet paper. Like one ply toilet paper is going to become five ply toilet paper to me because I'm going to just get a bunch of it.
What I'm saying.
But I still don't feel like I'm getting the job done. I hate one ply toilet paper. I'd rather give me the itchy shirt.
Give you the itchy shirt. Okay. Wow. You guys, this podcast was a journey. It was a journey. We got a little sad.
Yeah.
We heard some amazing jokes and we heard about pens. But so thank you for joining us. Thanks for letting us talk about these things. I know they're hard things and uncomfortable things, but yeah.
I hope we didn't bum too many people out, but I feel like these could be useful. Kim, I'm very grateful for all that you've done for me this week. I'm really enjoying my grace period. I know that it's not going to last forever.
It will not last forever.
Wait, so when is it? When are you pulling the plug? You don't know? Okay.
I'm nice though.
All the time.
I'm nice, but I am not really understanding about messes and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, we're having your whole family over tomorrow and you got to help me clean up this house.
Oh, so the grace period's over now. Good to know. Grace period's over now. All right. So, okay.
Okay. Maybe love I shouldn't you guys. Have brought
this up. Love you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.